Send a movie idea.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, and welcome to The Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules here are very simple. We can discuss as many of your ideas as we like, but only one can be taken through to the next stage, where both of your Dream Factory hosts will run the London Marathon dressed as its protagonist, no matter how heavy or complicated the suit may be. I'm Joel, a man who puts the rat into Marathon Runner, and across from me is John Harris, a man who last ran more than 100 metres because he thought he'd spotted Tobey Maguire entering M&M World on Leicester Square. He spotted him as John exited his third Bella Italia of the day, having completed what he refers to as the triple header Bella. That's right. It's a starter in the Bella Italia near Prince Charles Cinema, a main in the Bella Italia near the Yates on Leicester Square, and dessert in the Bella Italia near the Noel Coward Theatre. Of course, a digestif to finish off in M&M World. Hi, John.
Hello, mate. They just all bring such different things, you know?
I've had a dream for quite a long time to have a Bella Italia, a triple Bella Italia, a triple header Bella, as I called it, and then immediately forgot. I'd actually always thought there were three Bella Italias on Leicester Square, and maybe there have been, and maybe Bella Italia took the, in my mind, unwise decision to reduce it down to two on the same street. But there is luckily a third and fourth Bella Italia just a street away from Leicester Square, so you can still make it happen.
Is there lots of Angus steakhouses as well in that area?
You know what? I think there's...
Could you do three courses?
There's definitely two. And okay. You know, there's one word the listeners are shouting at us right now, John, and that's Garfunkels.
If you had to do like a London restaurant chain marathon, yeah, like...
Rainforest Cafe.
There needs to be more than one. You know, we can't be just going, I did a marathon, I went to Gloria, but... You know, what's the realistic sort of one where you could physically achieve it in a day, eating at
every single one?
You couldn't do KFC, right? It would take too long.
It would take too long.
It would take a week to do KFC.
You'd have to get like a year-long sabbatical from work to do KFC or something. Or and if you wanted to do the Pret would have to be sort of your retirement plan, I think. I'm going to eat in every Pret a Manger in London.
That feels like a blog from like... 12 years ago would be someone trying to review every single Pret in London.
It does. Or maybe a Twitter thread when that platform was still usable. It's something I would have followed quite intently. I'm going to visit 100 Prets in a day. I'd have been all over that. Anyway, John, let's pitch some film ideas. Pitch me a film idea.
What about this one from Paul? 101 Damned Nations. The superpowers of the world condemn others to an uncertain future. Pretty bleak.
That is quite bleak. 101 damned nations. That's about half.
Yes, it's 195, so you're left with 94.
There's only 195.
Well, okay, a quick Google told me that. I didn't sort of go deeper.
That's good stuff. 101 damned nations. So how are these nations being damned? Is it some sort of Hunger Games situation until we only have one nation left?
Possibly. I think it sounds like the plot of a Bond villain, doesn't it? It sounds like something quite Bond villainy.
He's spinning a globe and he's chucking a dart at it, and wherever the dart lands, he's eradicating that country from Earth. He's damning it.
Yeah, and the sort of first half of the film is this, yeah, is like a sort of spy thriller, and they're trying to work out how the big villain is choosing these damn nations, because it seems random, but they're like, no, there must be something in this. They're like working it out, like, is it due to like...
He's gone from Indonesia to Finland.
Yeah, like, what's going on? And they're like, this country is absolutely safe. There's no chance he's damning this one. And then it goes. And then at the end, yeah, it's just revealed that he is just throwing a dart at a globe. Yeah. It's just sort of tyranny gone wild.
Nice. And I guess his sort of a la Dr. Evil, he's on some sort of moving, he's on a submarine, he's in space. He's not in a nation that's going to be damned.
Oh, yeah, good point. He has to be, he's nationless.
He is. He's stateless.
He is one of those people at the Olympics who goes and doesn't represent a specific nation.
Yes, he competed at the Olympics in javelin, which is why he's so good at throwing a dart at a globe. He could be from a state that isn't officially recognized by the UN wreaking revenge. He could be from like SeaWorld or the Chagos Islands or one of those kind of places that, you know, maybe, look, there's lots of countries out there that have very long campaigned peacefully and bureaucratically to be recognized by the UN. In this film, they've decided enough is enough.
I watched Blackfish and I know that, you know, there's big scandal around Shamu, but I didn't realize that theme park had tried to sort of set itself up as a separate country.
No, I mean Sealand, don't I? For God's sake. Yeah, the animal rights activists had it enshrined in law that you couldn't treat orcas a certain way, so SeaWorld decided to declare itself its own nation. Oh dear. Yeah, no. I'm
an idiot. That's a twist. It's a big dolphin that's causing all the
perfect
damning all the nations.
Perfect, because they're at sea. They're nationless. Right. How about this one from Damo, Moonraker, Adventures on the Moon by an MI5 employed gardener.
What are you gardening on the moon?
I don't know. No, Damo. I don't think you're gardening on the moon sounds like, isn't that a song? No, you're not gardening on the moon, but what's happened is MI5 are out of all of their best spies. It's kind of a Johnny English situation.
Oh, fine.
They urgently need a spy. So who do they get in? The gardener.
Forgive my ignorance, but what is the Japanese gardening thing with the sand where they make the shapes in the sand?
Oh, yeah, that's really nice, isn't it?
Because you could do that on the moon, couldn't you?
You could do that on the moon, yeah. So
I assume it's sandy.
The moon?
Like dusty. But there's no, dusty, but
wouldn't
sandy,
it all,
right?
Wouldn't all the... This is where we become the thickest men in podcasting. But wouldn't it all float around?
Yeah, good point.
But then is moon dust heavier than our dust?
Oh, is dust heavier on the moon?
Well, that is the sort of thing you overhear a three-year-old saying in the science museum, isn't it?
Yeah. But that's the sort of question I have to field from my son.
And what do you say to him? Shut up!
Shut up and go to sleep.
Shut up and eat your turkey twizzlers. I assume it's got to be dust, right? It can't be... When I picture other planets, they're just like a big solid ball, but they're not like that, John, are they? They've got their own characteristics. Mars is well dusty.
Yeah, and like, didn't Armstrong and co, they left footprints on the moon?
They did. Lance Armstrong left bike tire tracks, and Louis Armstrong left his trumpet up there. You're right. And Stretch Armstrong, he didn't even need to leave Earth, and he could, you know, give it a little pat. No, you're right, there's moon dust, but moon dust is probably heavier. There's some sort of gravitational shift. The moon dust is flying all over the place. The only way they can tame it is by recruiting MI5's best gardener.
Perfect.
And it's called, John, it's not called Moonraker, it's called James Bond. Greenfinger.
Very
Thank
good.
Thank you very much.
Living daylight saving hours for farmers. What about that?
I think that's really good.
Octopus seeds?
Octopus seeds? That's quite good. That's quite good.
Skyfall, like in America, it's autumn. Skyfall.
And what's that specifically got to do with gardening?
Well, you sort of rake your leaves up in...
Yeah.
I think you've got the best with Greenfinger there. I think there's not much further we're going with Bond gardening puns.
Well,
right?
We'll put it out to the listeners who are eminently more talented than us. So please do send in your Bond gardening film ideas. Maybe we'll do a Bond Goes Gardening
Bond
special.
Bond Gardening special. It's a good This is a good podcast.
It is a good podcast. No one else. Those guys over at The Rest Is Politics, they refuse to do a Bond gardening special, even though their listeners probably couldn't be more interested in the topics of James Bond and gardening. They're missing a trick. They're cowards. True. They're fucking cowards. Anyway, how about this one from Martin? Mr. Bean's Holiday. Sean Bean in a movie he hopes to survive. It's a good idea. Sean Bean, it's, you know, it's the role of a lifetime. He finally gets to use his comic chops, and I guess it's just pratfalls, pitfalls the whole way. He's trying to avoid certain death on a holiday.
Yeah, so it's like a comedy Final Destination.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, so... yeah, I could,
a slapstick Final Destination.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, not that I've ever seen a Final Destination, but I'd imagine I'd come out of the cinema saying, wasn't slapstick enough?
You've never seen any Final Destination films?
No.
But they're just sort of on. Like, everyone's seen one just sort of by osmosis, right? There's so many of them.
Possibly. There was definitely an era where I'd go around my friend's house and they'd put like a Scream or something like of that ilk on. So it's probably been on in the background whilst I was...
How many Final Destination deaths can you think of off the top of your head?
Well, there's the one that I think everyone thinks of, which is from that I've seen from an advert for Final Destination, because every time you're on a road, you think of a bunch of logs in a truck in front of
you. Yeah, logs. Why is
shooting through the window?
Logs off a truck is sort of the most iconic Final Destination death, isn't it? Maybe you're right, because that's it feels horrible. So real. I'm pretty sure someone gets cooked in a tanning bed.
No, I wouldn't like that.
Obviously, the first one is all about a plane crash, but that doesn't really count. That's kind of the inciting incident. And I think there's like a roller coaster one.
Oh, come on. That's ample fodder for a Final Destination death, right?
I feel like I've seen a few Final Destinations, but I can't think of many other deaths.
So part of the reason why this one's come through is the famous thing that for a little sort of moment in time, Sean Bean could not be on our screens without being murdered, right?
Yeah.
But I was going to say I read, but when I say I read, I definitely saw a TikTok video stating that actually he's not even the person who's been killed the most on screen in The Lord of the Rings. Christopher Lee has absolutely been murdered way more times on screen than Sean Bean.
Yeah, but Christopher Lee's 4,000 years old. Yeah, that's not fair. There's an IMDb list. Oh, wow. Interesting. There was an IMDb list for every on-screen Sean Bean death, but IMDb have taken it down. What are they trying to cover up?
Too hot. It's too controversial. Hot.
But he has. I think the thing is, right, he's died in... He's had high-profile deaths.
Yeah, we went Boromir. From Bond to Lord of the Rings pretty quick.
He's died in...
Oh, and Game of Thrones, right?
He's died in James Bond, Lord of the Rings, and Game of Thrones. Spoilers there for franchise
fans. I was going to say, they all feel... Apologies if you didn't know that Sean Bean dies in those things. Actually, on the subject of spoilers, Joel, I was explaining, which me and you have texted about because it looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. I was explaining to my partner about the film Trap.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about that in the post-credits today, baby.
Fine. We'll talk about Trap later. But I was explaining M. Night Shyamalan and I said, you know, he's the king of the twist after The Sixth Sense. And she said, what? And I said, you know the twist in The Sixth Sense? She went, no. And so I had to explain in the year 2024 what happens at the end of the film The Sixth Sense. Isn't that weird?
I'm guessing she hasn't seen it.
Yeah. It'd be weird.
She just didn't get the twist.
It's like pop culture. It's like Luke, I Am Your Father.
Do you know what? I think it is up there with the Luke, I Am Your Father. I think it is. It might be, if you were to get people to name the most famous twists in cinema, Sixth Sense has got to be top three.
Oh, easily.
And then you've got Sixth Sense.
Luke, I Am Your Father.
Luke, I Am Your Father. No, I Am Your Father. And then you've got that dance they do in Pulp Fiction. Because that's the doing the twist. Anyway.
Very good.
Have you got another one for me, John?
Good content.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
What about this one from Oscar? No Country for Old Men in Black.
You just, sometimes you get an idea and you wonder how we haven't done that in 7 years of Dream Factory podcasting. No Country for Old Men in Black. Two of the greatest films of the 21st century. Oh no, Men in Black's probably like late 20th century, isn't it?
It's late 90s, isn't it?
Fine, I'm into it. Tommy Lee Jones is in both. He's the bridging factor.
Oh, yeah. Because Anton Chigurh, so the What's his name? Javier Bardem is playing a character who's not unlike the alien that,
is so true.
Vincent D'Onofrio is playing.
He is They're so much like the Vincent D'Onofrio. Yeah, he really is.
So I don't think there's much work we need to do. We just need to basically plop Will Smith into No Country for Old Men and we're done.
I'm here for it.
Because, like you say, late 90s, it was sort of perfect age where we were just old enough to watch it, but maybe not old enough to handle. That the image of Vincent D'Onofrio sort of trying to keep his face straight when he's got an alien inside of him, like, haunted me as a kid.
Yeah. Big time.
Horrible stuff.
I think the bit where you first meet Will Smith's character and then he goes through the training, I think was the coolest thing I'd ever seen in my entire life. Like, he was the coolest man. Well, I mean, he probably literally was the coolest man on the planet at that point, right? I thought he was electric. You're right. It's probably because I'd not seen anything like, I probably hadn't really seen anything other than explicitly children's movies. And so Men in Black was the first thing that was kind of bridging that gap, I guess. Has Will Smith been up to much since then? I haven't really kept up with his career. He's still pretty cool, right?
Well, what's his face? Was it Bad Bunny the other day at Coachella brought Will Smith out to perform the Men in Black rap.
Amazing.
And Will Smith came out in full suit and sunglasses.
Yeah,
he did the
fair play.
He didn't just dress up as Will Smith, he dressed up as Men in Black.
That's cool. And then he got the little memory wiper out and he said, "I didn't slap Chris Rock at the Oscars," and that's how he's doing it. He's doing the festival circuit and he's wiping as many memories as he possibly can. It's quite clever.
Yeah, I didn't get to the end of the video. That explains it, actually. I think Will Smith, apart from this, I think he'll be back, right? I think people are going to get over the slap.
You can't keep Will Smith down forever. Soon. Hey, John, would you like a film idea from me?
Yes, please.
Here's one from me. Malif 50 Cent. 50 Cent plays a wicked witch.
Yeah, I can see it. 50 Cent's gone a bit quiet recently. Apart from, I just remember he did a tweet way back when he was at his mum's house and she made him take the bins out and she said, "I can't take the bins out, I'm 50 Cent.
John, 50 Cent has not gone quiet recently. He's like the planet's number one P. Diddy truther, which we do not need to say anymore on this podcast.
Yes, apologies, you're right.
But 50 Cent is gunning for P. Diddy. So yeah, that's kind of a... Hey, listener, I'll let you go and look at his various social media platforms to find out more on that. In our magical world, 50 Cent is playing a terrifying witch. And 50 Cent had a good stab at a movie career, didn't he?
Get Rich or Die Trying.
He had a good stab at video games as well. I think it was 50 Cent and the Crystal Skull. I mean, it's definitely not that, but it's what's interesting is that in the game, I think that's it, 50 Cent Blood on the Sand, somebody steals his Crystal Skull and I think the entire game is you trying to get it back by killing as many people as you possibly can.
And is there any sort of like magic? Is it a magical Crystal Skull or is it literally just a skull made up crystal?
I think he goes to play a gig in an unnamed country in the Middle East and as payment he's given a diamond encrusted skull and that gets stolen on his way back to the airport or something and he decides the only way I'm getting this back is if I kill 10,000 men.
Look, I know what we've said, I think we've sort of said stuff like this before, but I'm sick of all these AAA video games that take 8 years to develop. I want shitty games that take a year to develop that you can finish in a day, yet include random celebrities or are based on films that are out of the cinema.
And I think when you do churn them out like that, really hilarious stuff can happen. I think, and this is like pulling from the depths of my memory, I'm pretty sure 50 Cent Blood on the Sand was like acknowledged for having like state of the art a cover system or like a certain element of like the gunplay or something that actually really impressed reviewers. So it pushed the genre on, John. That's what I'm saying.
I take you back. Would you like my movie idea, Joe?
Would love it.
The Phantom Dennis the Menace.
Yes.
Colour scheme's already there, isn't it?
Colour scheme's there. Yep. I'm not really sure which role Nash is playing in this world.
I mean, Nash definitely looks like a Star Wars-y alien, right? He's got big sort of pointy hair. I think that would work. For the record, in case any international listeners are listening, one of the sort of weirdest glitches in the world that genuinely exists is that the UK and America have a very different idea of who Dennis the Menace is, and they were both allegedly developed in the same week in like the 1930s.
Yeah, both countries independently created Dennis the Menace. Really strange. Ours, and if you're listening in America, ours is much better.
So they both have stripy tops, but ours is black and red, and he has big black spiky hair. And I'm not sure what the American Dennis the Menace is.
He's a little blonde kid, I think.
Up to. Yeah, that rings a bell. I do think he also has a stripy top. And actually, for the international versions, it is each. So in the UK, you get the UK edit, nice. Which is the UK Dennis Menace. And in America, you get the American cut.
Perfect. I'm into it, John. Well done. John, if you had to pick a winner from today's films, which one would you pick and why?
I liked Moonraker. We got a lot out of that.
We did. Congratulations, Damo. Hey, John, it's the bit after the music.
Hey, Joel, it's the bit after the music. How you doing?
I'm doing well. What have you been enjoying?
X-Men 97. People have been talking about it. I'm only three episodes through. It's great. It's very nostalgic.
Yes, this is about the X-Men's role in Labour's election in 1997, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy how, you know, people talk about sort of Blair's sort of moderatism, but they don't talk about Professor Xavier.
They don't. The thing can only get better. I know that's cross. That's kind of expanding. It's expanding slightly into the wider Marvel universe, but come on.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame the song wasn't called Beast Can Only Get Better. That would have worked.
who are the other X-Men? Who's in 97? Come on.
Who's in 97? So you've got Bishop, you've got Morph, you've got Jubilee, you've got Cyclops, you've got Jean Grey, you've got Magneto, Beast.
Sadly, yeah. I can't really pun any of those on Jack Straw, but I'm really trying.
Sorry. Yeah, so it's really fun. It's 30 minutes episode. It's what I do to incentivize myself to do some exercising on my bicycle that Joel and other friends of mine have described as being like a penny farthing.
John has a penny farthing exercise bike. It's one of the sweetest things I've ever seen. And I think it's nice that eight generations of Harris have managed to exercise on that thing, John. I think that's really sweet.
The other thing I wanted to shout out was last week there was a Nintendo Indie World and there were some interesting games and a lot of them had demos released immediately. And one of them that really took my interest was a game called Anton Blast, which basically is like, it looks like a Super Nintendo or a Game Boy Advance or like a Mega Drive game. And it's sort of like an homage to the WarioWare game, not WarioWare games, just the Wario World games.
Nice.
It's like got this crazy sort of Looney Tunes-y late 90s art style, completely just, yeah, a bit bonkers, but just sort of made me feel like, alongside, I watch an episode of X-Men 97, play a bit of that, drink a Panda Pop, and I feel, you know, 8 years old again.
Oh, that's good stuff, man. I'll check that out. I haven't actually kept up with anything from that indie world, which I really should have done, because
there's some cool games.
Yeah. I'm going to open that up for after our chat. Right, I've been enjoying, since we last spoke, which, for the record, listener, was on Thursday. It's now Monday. I've watched all of Baby Reindeer.
Oh, same. Finished it.
Phenomenal.
What a show.
So compelling. Difficult to watch, but impossible to stop watching.
Yeah.
It's so brilliantly put together. It is full of twists and turns and surprises, even as someone who has seen both of the shows, live shows that the show draws from. There's just so much depth and so much more to it. And yeah, it's amazing. Like, it just fucking whips along for the full seven episodes and you're along for the ride. And it's really complicated and like complicated in a, I guess, sort of moral, ethical way. And it's like the most honest thing telling of the story you could ever imagine, right? It's just so bears all amazing, amazing show. And I'm absolutely delighted for Richard Gadd that it's been so enormously successful because he's obviously immensely, devastatingly talented. So yeah, well done.
Amazing. And before we go, you want to quickly talk about Trap?
Yeah, the trailer for M. Night's new movie Trap is out. It's absolutely everything I could have ever dreamed of from an M. Night trailer. A father is taking his daughter to see Lady Raven at a local arena. She's obviously the big pop star in town. And while he's there, he pops out for a little loo break and notices that the police are kind of surreptitiously shutting down the arena. And he speaks to someone working behind one of the bars and the guy says to this complete stranger that he's never met before, I shouldn't really be telling you this, but the police are shutting this place down because they believe the serial killer, the butcher's in here. Isn't that crazy, right? And then Josh Hartnett, who plays the lead, is like, haha, that is kind of crazy. And then the trailer itself shows Josh Hartnett going to the toilet and watching and looking on his phone at what we assume is like someone that he has captive at his house on like a Ring doorbell kind of thing. So people are saying, I can't believe M. Night has shown the twist in the trailer. Guys,
it's the premise.
This is M. Night.
It's the premise.
There's seven more twists to come. Are you mad? The little girl could be the serial killer. I actually saw a really convincing theory online about the fact that the little girl's a vampire and Lady Raven is like the lead vampire. Because if you look in the trailer, it's called like, where does the tour that Lady Raven's on is called like, where does the blood go? And the theory is Josh Hartnett is like, capturing these people so that his young vampire daughter can feed on them. Pretty good theory, man.
Does he go supernatural with his twists? He's
we
gone
just
the
talked about the sixth sense, it's... you maniac.
Oh yeah. All right. Okay, fine. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah, that's it. I think everyone losing their minds that that's the twist. No, it's not. That's just to get you in the cinema. Yeah,
perfect. So good. Oh, good stuff. Well done, John. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, mate.
Thanks to
Let's
you.
Let's have another one next week.
Thanks to you. Yes, you. Specifically you for listening. We'll be here same time next week.
Send a movie idea.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.